Here we go. Good morning and a good Sunday. It is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Marquee Sports Network in Chicago. We welcome you. NESN, New England, we welcome you. Amal Shah is here, Michael Lombardi, and you were getting on him a little bit earlier. Why don't we reset that as far as the Eagles? The Eagles are in a must-win spot here, hosting the Bengals today. And why don't we reset? Because you had a difference with Amal Shah when it comes to Carson Wentz.
I mean, you are the biggest instigator of all time. All I said was Amal Shah wants to have Carson Wentz arrested. And I said that basically, Carson Wentz is not playing well. And I tried to give some support to try to keep Carson out of Amal's jail. That's all I did. I am not saying Carson Wentz is playing well. You're putting words in my mouth. And so I think, you know, Amal's going down that road really, really hard. I was just trying to keep Carson Wentz out of witness protection.
No, Michael Lombardi said Carson Wentz for MVP. Amal Shah, your thoughts?
I don't know if Michael did Michael really say that? I don't believe that right now. But I tell you, to me, Michael, you look at the way Wentz has played thus far. That's been part of the problem. He's just not been very effective for this team. They're going to need him. But with all that being said, I think this is a great spot for Philadelphia. I saw the line come down as low as 4 this morning. I don't understand the affinity for the Bengals. You're trying to tell me that the Rams, who were a +1 on the road against the Eagles, are only 3 points better than the Cincinnati Bengals or 4 points better going into Philadelphia. And I thought you brought up a great point a second ago, which is Philly needs this game. You can't go to 0-3. 1-2, you can still come back in the NFC East. I think the Philly Eagles bounce back today.
So you didn't say Wentz for MVP, Michael? You didn't say that? Did I make that
up? No, I never said that. I mean, you know, I never said that. I get accused of saying a lot of things, but I never said that. Look, I don't disagree with you. I'm just – my, you know, Will Hill was on, and he's all over this play, too. And my initial reaction was to be on it. And I just think, Philly, you said it on the show the other day, it's not a good team. They're 14-16 with Wentz since he's come back from the knee. They're 19-18 since they've won the Super Bowl, of which they've been celebrating for the last 2 years. And I think that finally people have realized that they're not a good team. Their linebacking play is horrible. Would not even get to their corner. But I'm with you. Like, I don't see enough out of the Bengals to tell me they're any good. Defensively, particularly, because the Bengals, without Geno Atkins, without all their top defensive linemen, you know, for me, it's really hard for me to believe that Mike Daniels is going to miss as well. So it's hard for me to believe that this should not be an easier win for Philadelphia. If they struggle in this game, oh boy, this town's going to, I mean, we better send a lot of therapy down back to Philadelphia.
And Amal Shah, my buddy, also a sophisticated handicapper and a host. He's going to be on right after us, the pregame show, Amal Shah, James Salinas. And then he's coming back. He loves VSiN. He's coming back for the in-game show as well. Good for you, Amal.
Yeah, I have no comment.
You're working like a dog. Hey, by the way, Amal Shah is a huge Will Muschamp fan, right, Amal?
Yeah, Michael, yesterday I had Tennessee -3.5, and I'll tell you what, decided to go for a mid-40s field goal, down by 7 with about 4 minutes to play. Didn't understand that decision. The reality was, I thought Tennessee, if Jared Garitano can understand his receivers are not 8 feet tall, this Tennessee team, I'll tell you what, they can be very dangerous in the SEC East. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, I'm still sticking with the Florida Gators. They are going to Atlanta, and they are going to give Alabama everything they can handle this year.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think Florida really, I thought Florida, a lot of people were telling me they think Florida could be one of the best teams in the Southeast Conference. And Trask looked sensational yesterday. And, you know, they've got to shore up some things defensively. But I'm with you, Amal. I think Florida, they've got great, great talent all over the place. I think they could be one of the, they're back. They look back. Mullins seems very comfortable.
Michael, can you give me permission for my program, South Carolina and the Gamecocks, to move on from Will Muschamp? I'm sure he's a nice guy, but it's enough, man.
Well, I think this is going to be a fascinating, you know, they owe him a lot of money. You know, the athletic directors, the former baseball coach there, they don't want to make any changes. And in this era, Patrick, with COVID and losing all the revenues, I think a lot of coaches' jobs are going to be fairly safe because of it's going to be expensive to pay off a coach without income coming in.
Okay, just to tease, Amal Shaw does like the Lions. We'll get to that in just a little bit. And you can hear Amal, as I mentioned, the pregame show, in-game betting coming up later here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Again, we do say good morning and a good Sunday to you. We welcome you in. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. Amal Shaw is here. You like the Lions. Okay, help me understand why.
Well, first of all, let's take a look at this team. Break it down from the eight quarters they've played thus far. The first three quarters against the Bears, they were the best team on that field, and they struggled in the fourth quarter. They had some errors, no question about it. And remember, if DeAndre Swift catches one ball, we're looking at them completely different. They're 1-1. And then against the Green Bay Packers, I think Green Bay is much better than people give them credit for. Everyone talks about point differential. Dallas gets to play in the NFC East and gets to play Washington twice in the Giants. That's why you saw them ahead in point differential last year. Green Bay is going to be an elite team. Nothing wrong with the loss at Lambeau Field. Still played particularly well in the first half. The Arizona Cardinals, yes, they beat up on San Francisco, but I never thought San Francisco was as good as they were last year. And then you look at also the win against Washington. Washington is going to be on the clock for one of the top two, three, four picks in the NFL draft this year. Nothing to get overly enamored by in that matchup. Kenny Golladay returns for this Detroit offense. They just need to get a couple of stops. I think people undervalue and undersell what this Lions team is. Again, an 0-2 hungry team. It's desperation time for them. 5.5 is too many in this spot. Michael, to me, if this number were made before the season started, it's probably a 3, 3.5 at best. And I think you're getting some value here with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, you know, but here's the thing. I think people are – Arizona has played really good on defense. Last year, they were atrocious on defense, and they have improved. Vance Joseph's got that defense playing at a high level. And when you break down all the numbers on Arizona, what they've done is a really good job. I mean, they're the number two team in rushes and completions on offense. They're the number three team on defense. They're really good in the red zone on defense on four-point plays. They're good on the offense on four-point plays. I mean, their numbers are shining, and you could say, well, they played Washington last week. Yeah, that's true. Your numbers typically can shine when you play against a team that doesn't have much offense. However, against San Francisco, they controlled that game, and I think it's just more than Kyler Murray's foot movement. I think his speed is what worries me about this game. Now, I think this is truly a test for Arizona. How good are they on defense? We're going to find out, because you're right. Golladay back makes Detroit a different team, and this is make-or-break time for Matt Patricia. I think Matt Patricia, I think Dan Quinn, I think there's some coaches that are right now, this is week three of the season, and they are really on a hot seat.
Okay.
They can't go 0-3 and keep their team.
And by the way, Amal's sharp here, because some of the numbers, some of the books have the Cardinals laying 5. We've got it 5.5 here. Okay, you mentioned Matt Patricia. I'm looking at the numbers. A lot of 32s next to the defensive stats. Let's be very clear. He's not a good coach. I'm being objective. I'm not being disrespectful, Michael. What is with this dude's inability to adjust defensively? This is now 2+ seasons with Patricia and the defense being the worst in the NFL.
You know, I mean, look, they're trying to be a man-to-man team. Justin Coleman's on IR. He, one of the guys that they signed free agent from Seattle, right? He was with us in New England. We signed him when I was in New England. Okay, Desmond Trufant's not going to play today. They've got the rookie Okito, who led the team in tackles last week. The speed of their defense is really, really not very good. And it's just because he's from that, you know, it's that school of I want big linebackers. Well, it's a space game. You know, and Bill can get away with it from the multiplicity of what he does. And Matt's trying to do something that I don't think he can do. I think when you go back and look at the Patriots Super Bowl teams, defensively, there was some liabilities in those teams. There's no doubt about it. We'll see what happens. I'm not disagreeing with you, Patrick. I think they're the worst two-minute defense in football. And why was that? Last year, they were the worst team because they don't have enough speed on defense. Two-minute defense is all about your team's speed.
Yep, quarterback pressures, everything you look at. Rush yards against, pass yards against, it's close to the bottom in every category, Amal.
Michael, I always wondered, does Bill Belichick get 50% of the contracts that all his former coaches signed? Because they should be giving him half.
I don't think he does. I don't think he cares about the money, Amal. I don't think that's really... Look, I think this. I think, you know, you become... You try to become Bill Belichick Jr. You have a laminated sheet in front of you. You got a pencil in your ear. Seriously, like you can't. Like you've got to develop your own style. You've got to develop your own flair, and you got to develop your own personality. You know, and all these expatriates that you sign, whether it's Danny Shelton, whether it's Jamie Collins. I mean, that's really not going to help define who you are. It's been a problem. And, you know, and they've rallied around him now. They've said, hey, look, we're going to support the coach, but he's got to come through. He's got to win some of these games. Okay, the last cut, Rod Marinelli, 10-24, right? You know, Jim Caldwell was 16-12. He got fired. Jim Caldwell was 6-2 in the last eight games of the season and got fired. You know, so this Matt Patricia's 9-23-1. I mean, it's not good.
Rod Marinelli was 10-24 through 34, and he went 0-16. Let's be very clear. The dude went 0-16 and has a better record than Matt Patricia. Okay, Amal Shaw is here. It's the Lombardi Line on a Sunday as we say good morning to you. The Titans-Vikings, this game's fascinating. Michael and I opened the show with it because the Titans opened 2. They're up the 3 here. We've got a 2.5 as our official VSiN number. Where are you, Amal, with the Titans and the Vikings? The Vikings obviously struggling here.
You know, I stayed away from this game. I can see and appreciate why people like Tennessee. And I'll tell you, I have not been a big fan of Tannehill, but I'll tell you, he has really improved over the last year and a half, has been very effective. Derrick Henry, a terrific running back. A.J. Brown really coming into his own. To me, when I look at this team overall, they're very solid. But for Minnesota, an air of desperation, Kirk Cousins has to play better. That's what it really comes down to for Minnesota. And then they're not really generating a pass rush. Michael, you know, they bring over in Ngakoue. He hasn't been able to do anything without Hunter for another game. I'm just not sure where this game goes. I'm just going to stay away from this simply because Minnesota's a desperate team. We're going to find out a lot about them today.
Yeah, I think this we could call this weekend desperation weekend. There's a lot of teams that are desperate, you know, and I agree with you. Minnesota on defense is just way too young. They got too many young defensive linemen. Their secondary is way too young. They don't really have any strength. And the way Cousins plays, he needs to play from in front. He needs to start the game off. And I've said this all year. You know, they talked about drafting Jefferson. When you take a number two receiver like Adam Thielen and make him the man, he's not the man. He's a really good player, but he's a good player when Diggs is on the other side. And Jefferson can't replace Diggs right now. It's too young. You're basically, I see this as a kind of an upside down roster, right? They're too young and they're too old at some spots, and they're not kind of meshed together in Minnesota. And I'm with you. I stayed away from this game because it looks too easy. Tennessee looks too easy to take the bet. Philly's the same way for me. They're too young in some spots, and they're too old in other spots. They don't really mesh together perfectly. And I think it's the roster built. And I think Minnesota's got so many cap problems because of the Cousins contract. They've tried to maneuver around them. They just don't have enough juice on offense, especially outside. Thielen's a really good player, but he ain't a number one.
Yeah, and speaking of which, using a number one pick or a first round pick on a wide receiver, so much variance, so random. By the way, we've got a key number here. The second key number when betting the NFL is 7, of course. Washington and Cleveland, Amal, I'll start with you. Cleveland open 5.5. It's been bet up to 7.
You know, it's hard to back Washington. Michael alluded to it earlier, the struggles that Washington has offensively. I just don't believe Dwayne Haskins is the guy in Washington. Michael, he has just not shown me enough consistency. I watched Justin Herbert the first game against Kansas City. I said, this is the guy right now. I mean, yep. Forget Tyrod Taylor. You could see it in the first week. So to me, it's hard to back Washington in this spot. Getting 7 is a big number. I don't have enough confidence in the Browns to lay a number like this. I'm sure this is going to be involved in a lot of teasers for a lot of people, and I can see why in the survivor pool this was 20% of the picks, but this is a complete stay away. But I'm going to tell you, I think this is a game the Washington, in terms of the spread, I don't believe they win the game, but I think they could surprise some people here and keep this one competitive.
You know, that's where I was with it, Amal. Like I came down to a bunch of – I was almost on Houston. I had 3 picks I always make every week, and I was not sure where to go on the third one. And it bothered me all week. My numbers said take Washington. My numbers kept saying take Washington. And the matchup when I watched the tape was clear to me. Washington's defensive front will give Baker Mayfield some trouble. He will throw some picks today. It'll be hard for them to run the ball on him. It'll be hard for them to really get the pass protection he needs. But then I watched Haskins, and I'm with you on Haskins. I don't think he's good enough. He has to see a receiver open for him to throw the ball. I hate quarterbacks like that. That is really one of my pet peeves. However, that being said, it kind of, and maybe I'm justifying it, but when I watch Cleveland's defense, it's not sophisticated. They play a lot of cover two. He'll get some easy throws in this game. I'm counting on a backdoor cover here. I'm counting on that Cleveland wins the game, but I don't think they're good enough to win it by 7.
And Amal Shaw's a Buckeye. So this is Buckeye on Buckeye crime here. And he, you know, he's always high with his throws as well, Haskins. You ever notice that?
Well, if he's not high, they're incredibly low. I mean, they're at the ankles, and that's the problem. And, you know, you can't be high on a lot of these throws over the
he's
middle.
He's either high or low, one of the two.
He's
I know
never
that.
In between. I mean, it's not that
he's
hard.
He's not accurate is what we're saying. Yeah. He's not accurate. Yeah. And he doesn't anticipate any throws. No. And he doesn't have an ability to really anticipate it. And so, you know, they're going to keep going down this road. He's like – Jacoby Brissett of the Colts. I love Jacoby, one of the greatest human beings of all time. But Jacoby's not a great anticipator of throwing the football. He needs to see a guy open. He needs, he's coming out of his break. He's open. I'll throw it now. Great quarterbacks never have to do that. Great quarterbacks see that guy and bang it, and they throw it. There's a rhythm to their game. Haskins has no rhythm to his game. He didn't have it at Ohio State, and I haven't seen it at Washington.
Boy, that number's dropping like a rock in Pittsburgh going Houston's way, all the way down to 3.5 off the 6 opener. So Pittsburgh laying 3.5. We see that number continue to come down. Them all thoughts?
Yeah, I don't understand this move. I still think Pittsburgh is the third best team in the AFC behind Kansas City and Baltimore, or vice versa, whichever order you have them in. But to me, I think disrespect to Pittsburgh. I think they bounced back in a big way today, Michael. I know they didn't play particularly well down the stretch in the second half against Denver. I still like the Steelers team. I like this defense. I think they'll be able to move the ball effectively against the Houston Texans. You know, Will Fuller, we always talk about how good his potential is. Well, you know, part of being great in life is being available to do your job. And there's a lack of consistency there. Deshaun Watson not having DeAndre Hopkins really has an impact in terms of how this offense operates. So for me, I'm either looking at the Steelers or I'm staying away from this game.
You know, Amal, I'll say this. You know, Pittsburgh's really played two bad offenses. And, you know, Denver last week, Cortland Sutton started to make plays, and then he got hurt. The week before that, the Giants, who really don't have great skill, moved the ball when Daniel Jones. Look, it's all about the rush in Pittsburgh. I think you can really attack Steven Nelson and Joe Hayden at the corners with Mike Hilton in the slot. I think they're going to really throw the football. I think Deshaun Watson knows it's get-to time, and I think Deshaun Watson is going to treat this game like a playoff game. I almost took this game as my third, and frankly, I probably should have done it. I went with Washington. I'm going to curse myself at 4:30 this afternoon for the stupidity of my own way. But the reality of it is I think this is a really good matchup for Houston. I think Houston can attack these corners. Now, they got to protect. They got Titus Howard. The right tackle's got to play better. The right guard Fulton's got to play better. Tunsil's got to play better. But Deshaun's back's to the wall. And you're right, Will Fuller, durability is key. He doesn't have durability. But when he's on the field, I can promise you this. There is not one corner on that Pittsburgh Steelers team that can cover this guy. Not one. They can't cover Brandon Cooks, and they're not going to be able to cover Cobb. It's going to come down to, can they block Watt? And as everybody focuses on the Watt family reunion, the game really is going to be about, can the Houston offensive line protect? And I think they can.
So the key is availability. Is that why you just keep on showing up at VEASAN and we put you on the air, Amal? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's the only reason. Clearly, that's the only reason, Mr. Instigator. Yeah, stir it up. Go ahead.
Hey,
Patrick,
I didn't do it. Dude, I'm just pointing out the fact that he's on every show today.
And by the way, we've been on for an hour and 20. You haven't wished Bill a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Bill.
An hour and 20 minutes. I mean, you know, it's like ridiculous.
Shout to my buddy, Bill. Happy birthday to you, Bill. Dallas at Seattle. Seattle is such an inside joke. Seattle's laying 5.5 off the 3.5 opener, Mr. Shaw.
You know, I don't want anything to do with the side in this game. I think this is one where Dallas could be trailing by 10 or 11 points in the fourth quarter to get a backdoor cover. I look at this game, the total's gotten high at 56.5, but there's no way you can bet this game under. I think both offenses should be able to move the ball extremely well. This is going to be a stay-away spot for me, but to me, I think we're going to see a ton of points here. I think Seattle should be able to move the ball on this poor, poor Dallas defense very easily. You know, you go back to the Rams game, Michael, they should have put up 28 in the first half. They missed some great opportunities. Yep. They only had 16 there. We saw what Atlanta was able to do against them. And granted, they were aided by 3 turnovers in the first quarter. But I still think Seattle will get into the 30s today. And I think Dallas's offense, when they're forced to throw, they'll be able to put up some points as well.
I do, too. I think this is a high-scoring game. And the only reason I'm on the Dallas side is because when this line opened up at 5, I thought it was the play. Anything above 3 for me against Russell Wilson will be the only way I'm ever going to go against Russell Wilson, ever. But I think what Will Hill said earlier in the show, they can't cover anybody in Seattle. Their secondary is bad. They don't rush the passer very effectively. I think Dallas will move the ball. Now, we don't think Tyrod Smith's going to play, so we're back to the 2 free agent tackles. That's going to be a problem. But Prescott, again, Prescott can throw the football effectively. I think there's receivers. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, they really haven't gotten Gallup going in the game, and Amari Cooper. This is a tough matchup, I think, for Seattle. I'm going to take the points with Dallas here as long as it's above 5. At circuit, it was 4.5. I've seen some 5s. It's moving to 5.5. I'm going to go in that direction.
Yeah, great job by Amal Shaw. That number continuing to climb as far as the total. 55 opener up to 56.5. A little update from Josh Applebaum. How about this? The Pats are moving to 7 here, Amal. 6.5 up to 7.
That's no surprise. Look, there's an overreaction to what the Raiders have done so far. The Saints without Michael Thomas are not the same offense. If New England gets an extra yard and a half, do we view them differently? In my opinion, no. They're the same football team, 1-1, 2-0. I understand there's a difference in the win and loss column, but I still think this team is very good. Cam Newton gives them an element that they didn't have previously in the past with the mobility. I think this is a great spot for the Patriots. It's going to be in a ton of teasers and money line parlays. I think New England wins. I'm not thrilled about laying a touchdown, but I think they get the cover here.
You know, I was worried about this one. I thought this line would move towards Las Vegas. Here's the Raiders in a nutshell. They control the ball on offense. That's their defense. The only way the Raiders can win games is to play less defense. They've averaged playing 26 minutes of defense in the first 2 weeks. Their defense is terrible. They can't rush. They can't cover. Other than that, it's wonderful, right? And they've got injuries. The Patriots will move the football. The key is they've got to be able to get off the field on third down. And without Henry Ruggs, they're going to double Waller, and they're going to force the ball to Aguilar. They're going to force the ball to someone else. So I'm with you, Amal. I think it's 7's a little too heavy for me. I like the Patriots to win, though.
There's nobody I respect more than Amal Shah. He gets up early to come do this with us. The question is, will you ever invite me or Michael onto one of your shows?
God, there's an opening standing invitation anytime you guys want.
We decline.
Wait, where's the Mike Palm happy birthday wish? Where's
happy
the
birthday
Mike
to Mike Palm?
I thought you would bring cake.
Bill and Mike, happy birthday. We come back with injuries and an update here on the Lombardi Line. Okay, bet smarter, not harder. And the question is, how confident are you betting on this weekend's football games? Well, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help. You can start your 7-day risk-free trial right now. Place your next bet with confidence. You get point spread weekly. You get 24/7 live video streaming, the college football betting guide, and the EverKey daily emails with the best bets from our hosts and guests. Go to vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I want to get to the injuries and then focus on the 49ers here. But how about a quick shout out to our buddy, Mike Palm? Huh? Michael Lombardi, who is celebrating his birthday there. He's boogie boarding. He's surfing today. He's body surfing. We love Mike Palm.
And he got no respect from Amal. None. You would have thought Amal would have brought a birthday cake. I mean, you know, seriously, Amal just basically dismissed him. I mean, it's just unfair, you know. You thought that he would try to make up, buy some goodwill with Mike Palm. But, you know, like once again, he just, you know, he put him in the Carson Wentz category. He just blew him off.
You know? If it makes you feel better, Mike Palm, he big timed me, didn't even say goodbye, just turned around and walked out the door as soon as the segment was over.
He loves to stir it up.
I know. I do. Let's throw it up, Aaron. Let's throw up the board, and we'll go ahead and take a look at these injuries, and then we'll get into San Francisco. Okay, so injured reserve here, or injured list, Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, that's big for them. Christian McCaffrey, he's out. Saquon's out for the year. Sheriff Sutton's out for the year. Melvin Ingram, of course, with the Chargers. Malik Hooker, the safety there with the Colts. So a lot to update as far as the injured reserve list here.
Yeah, and let's go, Aaron, let's put up that giant 49er game. We haven't really talked about that because this is the injury bowl, right?
Yep.
I mean, we know Barkley's not playing for the Giants, but this line has been behaving towards the Giants the whole week, right? I mean, it started out, obviously, Nick Mullen became the starter. I think it's moved to 3 in some places. But, you know, without Kittle, without Samuel, without Garoppolo, without D Ford, without, you know, Richard Sherman, you know, all these guys, I mean, this is San Francisco's B team. They're playing. Now, they stayed this week at the wonderful resort at Greenbrier in West Virginia. They didn't fly back to the West Coast. The Rams, on the other hand, chose to do that, even though they're coming back to Buffalo. So they've had a week to bond. Great facility, but But, you know, I don't underestimate Kyle Shanahan. I think this Giant defense isn't very good. I think Nick Mullen will play good. I think Nick Mullen's a good player. I'm surprised they're getting no love at all, especially considering the Giants have not looked very good against any team they've played so far this year.
Well, let's throw up the board. I mean, this is unbelievable. Aaron, throw that up again as far as the injuries for the 49ers. I mean, it really is wild. Garoppolo, obviously, Bosa, Thomas, Sherman, Debo Samuel, their best wide receivers, been out. Mostert, Kittle, D Ford. It's unbelievable. Now, here's what they did. Remember, beat the Jets. They went to Greenbrier, I believe, in West Virginia, Michael. So they didn't travel cross country. And then the 49ers turned around and went back to obviously MetLife. They were complaining about the turf as well. But that idea to go to Greenbrier as opposed to traveling across the country, kind of key here.
You know, it's still, and you know, even this is how unbelievable people are just paying attention to this. They're giving the Niners no chance at all. The money line is well in favor of the Giants. I mean, not only are the Giants getting points, they're getting the money on the money line. I mean, that's remarkable considering because the value of the money line is so good. But think about it. I mean, you know, the Giants still have to play well. They don't have Barkley. They signed Devontae Freeman to be the back. Who's going to be the back? Wayne Gallimore? Like, who is going to? I love Deion Lewis as much as anybody, but he's not toting the ball. You know, they still have some players for this 49er team. Now, I know their scheme's simplistic, and my man the clapper, Jason Garrett, should be able to do something to move the football. But Daniel Jones is a liability. He turns that ball over. The 49ers can create turnovers. I'm fascinated by it. I stayed away from it because I think the injuries are too hard. And also handicapping this game, you can't handicap a game when half the players that are in your numbers are no longer playing.
Yeah, to be fair to Jones, I mean, just the talent. I mean, 28th in yards per play. They're last in points scored. They're 31st in red zone offense. That some of that is on Jones because he has a propensity to turn the ball over in inopportune spots. And he drops the football. He has a fumbling issue.
Right. And some of it's on Garrett. I mean, Garrett uses no motion at all. He doesn't do anything to help the team. I mean, he's got a guru reputation, and we've yet to see the Roo. We've yet to see
the
guru. I mean, it's like he went to Princeton. We know this, but let's show me something on offense. Do something creative. How about some motion? How about some bunch doing something different? He doesn't have Dak Prescott. He doesn't have the great skill that he had in Dallas, and I think it's showing up.
There's no Roo in the guru. What is the quote? There's no. Where's the Roo?
There's no Roo in the guru.
I won't even say, Mike Palm, what Amal Shaw said about you off the air. I'm not trying to stir it up. I'm just saying. Okay, we continue. No, I'm serious. I'm not going to say it.
Got Tom, my man coming in here. He's ready to go, too. My man TG's ready to go.
TG.
He's ready to come in here and tell us everything.
He runs the race and sports book at the Borgata. He's going to be sitting right there next to Michael as we continue. Get an update at the book there in Atlantic City at the Borgata. We continue along here on a Sunday. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Welcome back to the Indeed.com studio. Find the high-impact hire for your business needs at Indeed.com/high-impact. You'll find lots of great candidates, no long-term contracts at Indeed.com/high-impact. It's time for quick picks. Play the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and biggest payouts every week of the NFL season. It's easy. It's quick picks. It's simple. Daily matchups, over-under, bets, the best players from your favorite teams. Not living in a state with legal, mobilized sports betting? No problem. Quick picks offers parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, Illinois. VSiN users can sign up now and get 100% free deposit bonus up to $100. Use PayPal so you can be confident and secure. Legal for residents, 28 states, must be 21 years or older. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus for more. Michael Lombardi, as we welcome you back, we're going to bring TG in. It looks like who's inactive? Julio Jones, Atlanta,
Julio
inactive.
Jones, yeah.
Yes, that's a big deal here.
Yeah. I mean, that means Russell Gage becomes a starter for them. And, you know, Calvin Ridley's been sensational all year, but I think that's it. So let's open up there, Mr. TG.
TG, Thomas Gable.
Game.
Well, we just took a big one on that game.
Yeah, that's why you took the big one. That guy knew more than I knew. That, dang it, I hate that when it happens.
Yeah, so 100,000 on the Bears money line, a plus 120. That was maybe half hour ago or so.
Yeah, he knew this was going to come down. But I think everybody, I was unsure whether Julio was going to play. But, you know, again, it's going to come down to Matt Ryan and his ability to throw the football. And, hey, they still have some talent there. But where's the action going on that game?
Actually, it's all on Falcons, really. I mean, that's been where.
So you're going to need it. You're going to need Chicago to win the cover, but then you also have to. If you get Chicago, then you got to pay this. So
if Chicago, if Chicago can pull out a 1 point or 2 point victory, that'd be fantastic for us.
I was wondering how he works that in his head. Like, that's a hard rooting thing, right? Like, I'm rooting for Chicago. Like, I'm confused already.
You know,
one's not easy.
You know what's important? I don't know if people realize, Michael, where you're sitting. That's Eagle Country, right? You're in New Jersey, but it's Eagle Country and TG. The most tickets written right now. No surprise. The Bengals and Eagles. Fill us in on that game.
Yeah, so the Eagles, we opened them up as 6.5-point favorites. They're currently at 5.5. That's actually, it went down to, got down as low as 4. Even yesterday, you could get 4 on the Eagles, but back up to 5.5 here. Most of the tickets there are written on the Eagles, most of the money as well. So we're in a familiar position here of needing an Eagles opponent to come through for us
today. Which is typically all the case, right?
Yeah, it's usually the case. I mean, the first week, week one was sort of a different scenario for
you
us.
You needed Washington in week one. You got that. Yeah, I remember that. You needed that there. How about this is still giant country here too, Patrick. There's a lot of New York fans that come down and spend the weekend down here. Where are you on that game? Is the money as lopsided as it is on my board for the Giants?
We're not too lopsided on that game. It's almost even ticket count here. A little bit more money on the Niners and the Giants, but we're not too lopsided on that. But again, it's... you know, Giants country, so it's sort of to be expected here. But, of course, we're also in Jets country.
There you go.
So let's
great
talk
segue
about this game because it's a very unenviable position to be in every week that you need the Jets. And that's where I find myself every week. But
it's like Jet fans. You know, I say this about Jet fans. When Dean Martin had a line about drinking it, when you wake up in the morning and you don't drink, that's the best you're going to feel all day. Well, the Jets are the same way. When you're a Jet fan, when you wake up on Sunday morning, that's the best you're going to feel all day. It's only downhill from there.
I love that.
I don't feel good on Sunday morning when I look at where we're at with the Jets games. But
of course you don't. No, I mean, that's why you have to start drinking earlier.
Now, we opened that game at 10, and on last Monday, as soon as we opened the doors, somebody came in and bet a limit bet of 30,000 on the Colts. So that game is currently at 11.5.
Do you think it'll get to 12?
It certainly could. It certainly could. I mean, there's nobody's really taking the Jets, so...
Yeah,
I heard that voice crack. That voice cracks when you're talking about the Jets as a bookmaker. That's exactly what it is. By the way, are you up to 7 on the Patriots hosting the Raiders here, Thomas?
Still 6.5 on that. Still 6.5.
Okay, 6.5,
that
Michael.
Game, and that's still, you know, we're the Patriots are such a public team. Let's go Dallas. Now, Dallas, surprisingly here, too, Dallas is a popular team here in this area. Where are you on that one?
Seahawks laying 5.5. That's up from the opener of 4. We actually opened at Seattle laying 4. The total in that one, we opened 55.5. It's only gone up a point to 56.5. So, and obviously that's where, in that matchup, you have two defenses that really have struggled to stop anyone so far in the first 2 weeks. So, and obviously two of the better offenses in the NFL.
Are you going to need Dallas in this one for you?
It's tough to say. We're very even ticket count right now. A little bit more money on Dallas, but a long way to go here today yet.
Not too far from the Bills Mafia where you sit there, TG. Rams, Bills, where are you sitting with this number?
This is now down to 1. Bills laying 1 from the opener. That they were laying 3. We actually had even ticket count, but almost 5-1 in money on the Rams here. So wow. a lot more Rams money, and that is driving the money the line down in that one.
How about the terrible towels? Where are we? There's a ton of action coming in on Houston. Will Fuller is going to play. He's not even on the injury report, so he's going to play. The matchup, really, everybody thinks Pittsburgh 2-0 against 0-2. This should be, but all the money on my board's coming in on Houston.
We've actually taken quite a bit on the Steelers here this morning. Wow. So, we're probably going to end up needing Houston in that one. Steelers, though, another team that is showing up in some teasers here today as well. Them and the Packers are certainly a very popular teaser play to get the Packers up to 9.5,
right,
anywhere in there.
You could take the Patriots, get them down to a pick'em, mm-hmm, basically,
yeah,
and get the Saint and get the Packers up to almost a double digit. That's going to be a popular tease right there.
And also, by the way, Will Fuller perpetually on the injured list. Michael, Titans, Vikings.
Yes, take them off.
They don't take them off. It's weird when they do. 40 seconds left here, TG. The total Titans Vikings open 45.5. You're all the way up to 49.5.
Yeah. All the money coming in on the over in that one, and a little bit more Vikings money here. The spread in that is right at the moment Tennessee laying 2.5, open at laying 1.5. So probably going to end up needing the Titans, which I'm not upset about right now.
The best
good
book
luck today. We wish you the
good
best.
Good luck, TG. The best book in Atlantic City or anywhere is, of course, Sporgata, and our buddy Thomas Gable runs it. Okay, we're coming back. We're going to run the board with Josh Applebaum and Michael Lombardi coming up next right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, it's September, showtime. BetMGM Sports offering new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets. Place a $1 wager on the Cowboys-Seahawks game. If either team scores a touchdown, bam, you win. VSiN 100, that's the code. Take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today. Use the promo code VSiN 100. Win $100, Cowboys-Seahawks. Either team scores a touchdown, bam, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older, must be in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, West Virginia. If you know somebody that has a gambling problem, needs help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We welcome you back. It is the Lombardi Line on a Sunday. Good morning. I'm Patrick Keyes. Michael, Josh is here as well. Are you ready to do this, Michael? We're going to run the board. Everybody waits for it every single week. Are you excited?
You know I am. Okay. I'm actually excited. I'm sure you. Do you have a Mal? You have a Mal's picks over there too, so we can get him on
now,
the record here.
Now who's stirring it up, huh? You rabble rouser. All right, let's go. Yeah. 461 on the board. Vegas at New England's jumped up to 7 here, Michael.
You know, I think this will be a closer game. I like New England to win. I would take the points in the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm with Michael on this one. This is a good spot. Ideally, you got the Patriots 6.5 or less. Short week off a loss. I think that benefits New England. At 7, though, it's getting dicey. I would look toward a two-team teaser, though, Patrick and Michael. We were talking about this. Get the Patriots down to minus a half point and add it with Houston to go to plus 9.5.
Teasing through 6 through 3. That's the key when teasing in the NFL. Go through those key numbers. Michael, Buffalo is now, wow, this number is moving. Hosting the Rams, laying 2.
Whew. You know, I had the Rams at a pick 'em in the beginning. It actually came back to my number. I'm going to go Rams here. Take that back. I'll go Buffalo here. I think Buffalo will play well today. I'll go Buffalo. I think it's hard to make two back-to-back West to East Coast trips. I'll go Buffalo.
I'm going to go Bills and Michael Lombardi here. It's a deflated line. It's a slight public play to the Rams. The Rams have been one of the most interesting line moves, it seems like, every single week. But I will buy low. Bills at home, West Coast going East early game.
Next time you disagree with Michael, can you hit him with a well, actually? Thank you. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's laying 3.5. This number's dropping, Michael. Houston in town.
Well, look, I think there was the time was to get this when it was up at 5.5 when it opened. I'm going to take Houston here. I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson and take the points. I think they'll really attack this secondary. Steven Adams and I think Joe Hayden are going to have a hard day today, assuming Mr. Delicate Will Fuller stays healthy.
I'm with Michael on this one. Houston's actually one of my favorite plays of the week. That 0-2 straight up and ATS trend in their favor. I think they keep it close. Big line move, almost 6 down to 3.5 now.
You know, they don't call it the injured list, Michael. They call it Will Fuller. That's the list.
Yeah, that's right. They call it the Fuller list. That's right. Exactly.
It keeps on getting fuller. Let's go Giants hosting San Francisco. Here we go, Michael. The San Francisco 49ers laying 3.5. Wow, that number's we have it 3. The 49ers laying 3 at the Giants.
It's a field goal game all of a sudden. It started out. You know what? I'm not buying the New York football Giants whatsoever. I'll take the 49ers. I'll be on the side. I'll be in the minority here. It'll be the contrarian view here. I'll go San Francisco.
I'm going with Danny Dimes here. Let's go New York Giants. This is a big move here toward the G-men, about 6.5. Some openers are at. It's all the way down to 3. Ideally, you get the 3.5 in the hook. A lot of injuries to the Niners complaining about the field turf. Danny Dimes, don't throw 10 picks today, please.
Josh Dimes, we'll start with you here. Tennessee at Minnesota. Tennessee's laying 2.5.
Oh, man, Patrick, this one's tough for me. I'm going Tennessee minus 2.5. I really am upset about
Sucker.
This. This is a big public play. Patrick, if it gets to 3, then you can I'll take you with the plus 3 with the Vikings. But, man, I'm going Titans. I'm sticking with it.
All right.
And then he's going to bet the money line on the Vikings. That's what he's probably going
to
do right
us.
There. Yeah, that's what he's going to Vegas Davis here. He's going to do that. I'm going to take Minnesota. Something smells wrong about this line. Something smells wrong about this game the whole way. I'll go Minnesota here.
Applebaum. As soon as that gets to 3, it's an auto bet on Minnesota at home. Washington at Cleveland. Michael, we'll start with you. This is all the way up to a touchdown. So Cleveland's laying 7, hosting Washington.
You know, I on my podcast, I picked this game as one of my picks. I don't love it. I picked it. I don't love any of my picks this week, but I went with it. I'm going to go Washington. I'm going to take the 7. I'm hoping for a backdoor cover.
I'm with Washington, with Michael here. To me, the matchup I like is that D-line of Washington going up against Baker and that O-line of the Browns. So at 7, kind of low total, give me the Washington football team.
Yes, Josh and I will be a guest on your podcast. Stop begging, Michael. The Cincinnati Bengals are at Philadelphia. You need this one if you're Philly. They're laying 5. What do you got, Michael?
You know, all of me says take Philadelphia, so I think I'll take Philly and the point and lay the points. I don't see how the Bengals are really very good to move the football. You're worried about a backdoor cover a little bit here, but 5, I'm going to go Philly. I think they'll play better against a bad Cincinnati defense without Mike Daniels, without Geno Atkins.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Eagles to show up. I'm going to go Bengals in this one, though. The Bengals have more extra, rest in this one. They've last played that Thursday night game. I agree, backdoor cover is what you're looking at. But really, the line moves all been toward the Bengals. 6 even. It got down to 4. It's coming back now, 5, 5.5. But I'll go Bengals with a line move.
No Julio Jones in Atlanta. That number's dropping like a rock here. Atlanta's laying 2.5, hosting your buddy Mitchell and the Bears.
You know, I took Atlanta as one of my teams this week. I regret doing it. I feel bad. I've already written this down as an L, but I got to stay consistent. I'm not going to do the flip-flop like somebody else I know.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going to take Atlanta here and hold and put my hazard suit on, and I'm not going to pay attention to this game the whole day.
Yeah, I guess I'm the only MVP Mitch backer here. I'm going Bears. I'm going ideally plus 3. I know you hate when I do that. But I'll take the 2.5 even as well. I think this is one of the most lopsided games of the week. Atlanta's getting almost 8 out of 10 bets. Give me the Bears. Keep it close.
Pre-bet shame for Michael Lombardi before the game's even started. I wake up feeling like that often, Michael. Don't worry.
You know, it's what Art Modell used to tell me all the time. He used to say, kid, when he was the owner of the Browns, say, kid, I'm not second guessing you. I'm first guessing you. I'm first guessing my pick of Atlanta. I can honestly say that.
All right, let's get a first guess on the Jets at Indy. Indy's laying 11.5. The depleted Jets in town, Michael.
You know, I think that's an awful lot of points. I know the Jets have no weapons. I mean, a pro game at 11, I'm not sure Indianapolis is that great of a team, but I'm going to take the points here in the Jets and wear a hazard suit when I do it.
Got to take the points. Josh, you?
I agree. Yeah, this is just, you know, one of the grossest games of the week. A huge line. It opened like 9. It's all the way 11.5. You also have Craig Rahlstad, pretty good road referee ATS. So let's say a prayer for TG. Let's root for the house. Go Jets and Fireman Ed.
Yep. Through that key number of 10 up to 11.5, opening 9. Carolina at the Chargers. You're laying 6.5 with the Chargers and Herbert here, Michael.
I'm going to take Carolina here. I think Carolina will play well. I think Teddy Bridgewater, you know, they can move the football. I think they'll move the ball on this Charger defense. They played their hearts out last week, but I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that. I think whenever you could see a rookie quarterback after a game tape, it helps you defensively. I'm going to go with the Panthers here.
Yeah, I'm also riding Panthers. They fit that 0-2 straight up in ATS trend really good historically, especially the last few years. Open around 7, 6.5, down to 6.5. I'm seeing some sixes as well. So give me Carolina by low after that McCaffrey injury.
Applebaum, you. Arizona's laying 5.5 hosting Detroit.
Patrick, you know I'm your biggest fan today. Your Detroit Lions. I can't stand this pick. It's disgusting. It makes no sense. But everybody's betting Arizona, and the line moved a little bit to the Lions. And to me, it's Lions. It's the Lions plus the points here, and I'll be rooting for your Detroit Lions.
Thank you.
I'm going to go Lions here too. I think they played them well last year out there. They know how to play them. This is it. This is the last stand here. I'm going to go with the last stand, Patricia, see what he can come up with.
Suckers. Tampa Bay at Denver. Tampa is laying 5.5 or 6 here. It's key. I'll give you a 5.5. No, nope, I'll give you $6. You got to lay it, Michael. What are you doing?
I'm going to take the Bucks here. I'm going to take the Broncos here. I think the Denver altitude will affect the team. I don't like the Bucks. I don't love the Broncos either, but I think 6 points is too much for a Buck team that's not very good. I think this number's inflated.
I agree with Michael here. This Denver plus 6 to me has a lot of value. It's a dog with a low total. It's one of the most lopsided games of the week. Everybody betting the Bucks, but it's 6, and liability seems like it's going down to 5.5. So I'll grab Denver plus 6.
Michael, Seattle's laying 5.5 hosting the Cowboys.
Give me that 5.5. I'm taking Dallas. I think Dallas might win this outright. I like Dallas. This is one I like a lot. I think Dallas will move the football on a bad Seattle defense. I think Dallas's defense will rush the passer a little bit better than we think. They're athletic enough. Anytime I can get 5.5 against Russell Wilson, I think even if Seattle wins, I think I'll be okay.
I'm also going to take the 5.5 with the Cowboys. You know, they're on the road. They're a little bit undervalued, kind of even ticket split. The hook to me is big. Also, I don't usually do this, but the over, even though it's super high, it started around 55. It's now 56.5. Could be a high scoring game. I'll go over there.
Okay, Michael, Green Bay, New Orleans, lane 3.
8% of the money that's come in is on Green Bay. That's all. 8% of the money. I had this as Green Bay should have been the favorite. I'm going to take Green Bay in the points here.
I'm going to go New Orleans. I don't love it. It was 3.5 down to 3. It's coming back the other way a little bit. But to me, no Davante Adams definitely hurts the Packers. But New Orleans off a bad loss at home. Sunday Night Football, big majority on Green Bay. New Orleans minus 3, ideally.
I don't know. That just shocked me that you took the New Orleans. I don't know why. All right. We'll get to this game more tomorrow, but let's do it right now. Kansas City and Baltimore, Michael. Baltimore is laying 3.5.
I'm all over Baltimore in this one. I like Baltimore a lot. Baltimore's defense is good. They were not healthy the last time they played. I think Baltimore is actually right now the better team.
I'm with Michael, and this one is about as sharp as it gets. You know, big majority saying, give me KC and Mahomes. How can you get points with Mahomes? You got to take it. Yet Baltimore only getting a third of bets at home Monday night, and the line moved in their favor. 2.5 or 3 up to 3.5. Give me Baltimore covering that line.
Josh, have a great day. Michael, we should say happy birthday to Bill and Mike Palm. Yes, as we say goodbye.
Thanks, Patrick.
Have a good Sunday. Tim Murray, James Salinas next. It is the pregame show coming up next. You missed anything, go to vsin.com, VSIN.com, at VSIN Live on Twitter to give us a follow. Everybody behind the glass, even Aaron, great job today. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on the Lombardi Line. Remember, if you missed anything, simple, go to VSIN. We'll talk to you tomorrow. The pregame show is coming up next.